chapter 5 through 7. So if you will take a Bible, whether it's yours or the one in front of you, and turn to Matthew chapter 5, we're going to be looking at verses 14 through 16 today. And the thing that I want to say before we start today is this. You know, I've talked to people who have said that they have heard from God. And some of the things that they have said, I'm not so sure they really heard from God. I'm not sure who they heard from, but there are things that just don't sound right or truthful. And maybe you're even in that case. Maybe you've had things where you thought, I wonder if that's God saying something to me. Well, let me just tell you this. God can do what he wants. Okay, and if he wants to speak to you audibly, he can do that. And if he wants to speak to you in whispers or in dreams or whatever, he can do that because he's God. But you know for certain God is speaking when we read his word. 100% guarantee this is the word of God. And we're about to hear him speak. And the word of God says this, you are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you that we have your guarantee that all scripture has been breathed out by you and it is profitable for us. So give us ears to hear, Holy Spirit. Give us a heart that will receive it and give us a will that wants, a desire that longs to do what you called us to do, to believe what you called us to believe, to be who you've made us to be in Christ. And it is in his name that we pray this. Amen. Okay, I got a question for you. What is the brightest light in the world? Brightest light in the world. Yeah, I knew there was going to be some smart aleck who would say the sun. Okay, let's try this again. The brightest light in the world. Not outside of the world. In the world. What's the brightest light in the world? Does anybody know? Supposedly, the brightest light in the world is found in Las Vegas. In a pyramid-shaped hotel called the Luxor. I'm getting a little bit of feedback up here, if we can turn that down just a bit. Thank you. It's called the Luxor. It's a pyramid shape, and right at the very top, they have this section where it's nothing but lights. 39 washing machine-sized light bulbs. I want you to think about that. 39 washing machine light bulbs all together in one place. That's 273,000 watts. Supposedly, that is 42.3 billion lumen, which I don't even know what a lumen is, to be honest, but that's a lot, whatever it is. Just for a comparison, if you have a 100-watt bulb in your house, 100-watt bulb, it's somewhere between 1,000 and 1,600 lumens. So for this to be 42.3 billion lumen, it is bright. It is so bright that pilots who are flying 250 miles away can see it. Now I know what some of you are thinking. You're wondering, how much is their electric bill? I know the answer to that. It is estimated to be $1 million a year. $1 million a year for 39 washing machine bulbs, washing machine size bulbs, shining a light up in the air for what purpose? For what purpose? So that people will say, wow, look at that light. Isn't that cool? And that's really it. Light is shining in the darkness, but for no real purpose. But that's not the way it is with the people of God. Or at least, that's not the way it should be with the people of God, because Jesus says the citizens of his kingdom are the light of the world. The citizens of the kingdom of Christ, those who have been saved by grace, those who have been brought out of darkness into his light, we are, you are, the light of the world. And that light that is at the top of that pyramid in Las Vegas, it might be really bright, but it is not the light of the world. If you're in Christ, you are. Don't believe me? See what Jesus says. Verse 14. It's pretty plain. You are the light of the world. He's talking to his disciples. And in this way, he's talking to us by the Spirit. If you believe in Jesus today, you are the light of the world. And like Chip said, we're starting to talk more about identity here in this church, and that's because who we are shapes what we do. Last week, we talked about how Jesus said, you are the salt of the earth. And we said, if you are the salt of the earth, that shapes how you live. If you are the light of the world, it will shape how you leave this place today. Will it not? It should. Now, this pronouncement that Jesus says to his disciples, and I hope I can get through this without getting too emotional. This pronouncement should startle, humble, and honor us, since Christ called himself the light of the world. I want you to think about that. I want you to ponder that. Let that sink in. Jesus himself says, he calls himself the light of the world. And since Christ called himself the light of the world, and remember who he is, very God of very God, light of light, in the flesh, since he calls himself the light of the world, when we hear Jesus' own lips saying to us, you are the light of the world. I mean, that is so humbling. That's startling. It's the kind of thing that you go, wow, what an honor to be called the exact same thing that Jesus calls himself. I mean, you think about it, in John 8:12, Jesus says, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. And apparently he's saying, those of you who follow me, not only do you have the light of life, you are the light of the world. And you might say, well, how can that be? How can there be two lights of the world? Jesus, us. In John 9, he explains it. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. You know what the implication is? Now Jesus has ascended into heaven, he has said, now you, disciples, you, my people, you, my followers, you are the light of the world. That is your identity. That is who Jesus calls you. Do you think about yourself that way? I mean, what an honor it is to be called the light of the world by the light of the world. Some of you may have seen this week. President Obama, he gave an award to Vice President Joe Biden. It's the Medal of Freedom Award. I don't know how many of you saw this or even news coverage of it, but there was something that he said in that speech, in Joe Biden's speech, that just startled me in a good way. You see, he didn't know that he was getting the award. I think President Obama said to him that he was, they were going to do something else, and then he showed up and he says, "Now I'm giving this award to Joe Biden," and he was visibly shaken by it. I mean, he turned his back on the people in the room, wiped tears from his eyes. And during his speech, he said these words: "This honor is not only well beyond what I deserve, but it's a reflection of the extent of the generosity of your spirit." He was talking to the president at that point. And then he said, "I don't deserve this. I don't deserve this honor, but I know it came from the president's heart." And as I heard those words, I could not help but think about the honor that it is to have the grace of God bestowed on someone like me who does not deserve it. I don't deserve to be honored with the title Salt of the Earth or Light of the World. I don't deserve that. But it tells me something about God's heart, that He would share His love for me in that way, that He would share an honor that only Jesus should deserve with me. Do you sense that? Jesus has put an honor on you that you don't deserve. None of us do, because we're all sinners. We have all fallen short of the glory of God. And yet God has said, "My child, you, just like your brother Jesus, are the light of the world. That's who you are. You're a new creation in Christ. You have the light of life in you. And because of my grace in the Lord Jesus, because of who I am and my love for you, the love in my heart that flows out into your heart, I have made you to be something that you could never be on your own." Isn't that amazing? I mean, doesn't that just... Okay, I know you're Presbyterian, but doesn't that just like really thrill you? As thrilled as Presbyterians can get. I mean, it does, because we say, wow, God not only loves me, He honors me by making me something I could never be by myself. Does that give you a sense of dignity? Does that make you say, you know what? I am not what I should be, but God has made me to be something better than what I am by myself. And that is good news. Not only has God forgiven you of your sins in Christ, He has given you a new position. And now, just as Jesus called the light of the world, we, as the body of Christ, as people called out of darkness into His light, we are the light of the world. But let's not forget, just in case, you're getting a little bit too big for your britches, as my parents used to say, we are the light of the world only because we were brought out of darkness of sin into the light of God by Christ, so that we would reflect His glory, goodness, and truth. See, in the Bible, when we talk about light, it has various kinds of meanings, but usually the three big ones are glory, the glory of God, goodness, the goodness of God, and truth, the truth of God. All of those are seen as light shining in darkness. Now, we could spend a lot of time unpacking all of that, but for now, I just want to move forward and say, if that is who God has made you to be, He called you out of darkness, He brought you into light, and now you are to reflect Him. You're to reflect something of His goodness, something of His glory, something of His truth. Not only is that a high honor, it is a high calling. Am I right, brothers and sisters? It is a high honor and a high calling. And yet, He has given us that by His grace, because of His love for us that He shows in Jesus. Now, one thing we probably need to think about when we think about Jesus' metaphor of light shining in the darkness, that you are the light of the world. Well, Jesus' metaphor tells us that we live in a world darkened by sin. Darkened by sin. And it, again, like I said last week, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to understand and know that we live in a world that is headed in a bad direction often. The same is true here. When you think about our world, it has been darkened by sin. And it's been darkened in lots of ways. There's the moral darkness. You know, people, morality, the way people live, that shows something of God's glory, something of His goodness, something of His truth, that's just been eroded. It's been made into something that is no longer shining. And you know, one of the things that I find really fascinating is that there are some people who are actually using light as a way of talking about darkness. Did you know there are groups out there today who are advocating things like, for example, a total acceptance of homosexual activity? I'm not talking about loving the sinner while hating the sin. I'm talking about total acceptance and saying everything is fine. And they are using the word light in their name to basically say they are the enlightened ones. Now, I think that the church has done some damage at times when it comes to people around us who are obviously, according to the scriptures, sinning. And sometimes we haven't been loving in the way we respond to people who are in sin. But it is the wrong direction to go all the way on the other side and call what is darkness light. It's wrong. And we shouldn't do that. Because God has made us to be the light of the world. And if that light is darkness, wow. Where do you think we might be headed if the church darkens or tries to darken the light of God Himself in His truth, in His goodness, in His glory? Here's another example of this. Think about this. If you just walk out on the street and just ask anybody, I mean anybody you see, maybe here in Sumter this wouldn't be the case, but if you just asked random stranger, why are you here? Now, first of all, they're going to say, well, I'm going to the store over here, probably. But no. Why are you here? Why do you exist? What is the purpose of your life? I think that most people would struggle with answering that question. At least that's been my experience when I have had those conversations with people. They struggle with, I don't know. That's part of the darkness that has come in our world. That the light of who we are, who God created us to be, it's been shadowed. And people don't know. They don't know that they were made by a God who created us in His image. They don't know that because they were created in God's image, that they were to reflect something of who He is. And here on earth, to live in a way that shows who God is. To reflect back to Him and to everybody else around us His glory, His goodness, and His truth. They've lost sight of that. And you want to know a secret? Many people in the church have lost sight of that too. And what Jesus is saying is it shouldn't be that way. The church, the people of God, me and you, just as Jesus was the light of the world and He showed the glory of God, the goodness of God, the truth of God by what He said and what He did, so too we as the church should reflect the glory of God, the goodness of God, the truth of God. And we know why we're here. We know who we are. And we live that way. And we speak that way. And so because we live in a world that is dark, darkened by sin, and God calls us to be the light of the Lord, because we are light in the Lord, we, by the power of the Spirit, and we need to emphasize that for a moment because we can't do this on our own, by the power of the Spirit, we push back the darkness around us with our words and our actions. That's what light does. Right? That's what light does. You get into a very dark room. Think about this. You get into a room with no windows, all dark, and all you have is a single candle. Now you haven't lit it yet. What's it like to be in that room? Well, it's dark. You can't see anything. You don't know where anything is. Can't see your hand in front of your face. You light a single candle and suddenly it pushes back the darkness enough that you can see what's around you. Right? In the same way, the church is to be light in the Lord. We are light in the Lord. And by the power of the Spirit, we push back on that darkness. We push it away as we do actions, as we say words that reflect the goodness, the glory, and the truth of our God. See, that's what Jesus says here. Verse 16, in the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. You know, just as I said, a single candle can illuminate a whole room. And I was telling my family this morning, that there's this debate about how far away you can see the light of one candle. And it used to be that people believed that you could see it for 10 miles. That's a long way. But scientists, by their scientific science, they have figured out that it's probably only 1.5 or 1.6 miles away. But still, think about that. You are 1.5 or 1.6 miles away from one single candle, and you can see the light of that candle? Just that tiny little light pushes back the darkness enough to see it for a mile away. And that's basically what Jesus is saying here. A city on a hill can't be hidden. We're not talking about a candle here. We're talking about lots of candles. We're talking about lots of lights. You can't hide the light, is what Jesus says. You can't. And then he points out in verse 15 how ludicrous, how ridiculous, how dumb it is to have a room where you have a light, a lamp, a candle, and then you light it, and then you take a basket and you put it on top of it. I mean, what doofus would do that? Right? You light a lamp so it can shine, is what Jesus is saying. And it's stupid to light a lamp and then cover it up so that no light shines. And yet Jesus is saying, are you doing that? Or are you attempting to do that? No, Jesus encourages us to let our light shine. And you knew, all of you who have been in the church any amount of time, you knew that somewhere in this sermon, this was going to come up. This little light of mine. I'm going to let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. We teach that to our children. And it's something that they can understand. They maybe not in the full extent, but they understand what it's like to let something shine and not try to hide it under a bushel. No. I'm going to let it shine. And in the same way, we as adults, I mean, can I say it? Sometimes we forget who we are. We lose sight of our identity, that we are light in the Lord. And we are to let our light shine. And you may say, Stuart, how do you do that? I mean, how do I do that? How do I let my light shine? Okay, I'm the light of the world. We are the light of the world. How do we do that? Again, it's just words and actions. And let me do that again. It's actions and words. And I'm saying that because, A, I think that sometimes we as Presbyterians really get excited about words, but not so much about action. And that is exactly what Jesus says in this passage. When he focuses on one thing, he focuses on the action. Do you see it in verse 16? In the same way, let your light shine before others. How do I do that, Jesus? So that they may see your, what? Good works. So they may see your good works, the things that you do. Now, let me say this very carefully. Not that I'm adding to the words of Jesus, but I do think that we need to make sure that when we are doing those actions before men, words also need to be included in them. Because if you're just doing actions, but you're never pointing in any way to the God who has saved you and made you new creations in order to do those good works, then how will people do what it says here? Give glory to your Father who is in heaven. How will they know? They just may think you're awesome. Look at all the good works this person's doing. Well, why do you do it? Because I'm awesome. Does that point back to Christ? Does that point back to God? Does that cause them to glorify the God of heaven? No. It causes them to, let me say it this way, it causes them to glorify you. And in fact, when we get to chapter 6, sometime in the future, Jesus will say, don't do your works in front of men to be seen by them. And it almost seems like he's contradicting himself. He's saying, let your light shine so that men will see you. And he says, don't do your works so that men will see you. There's a difference in the heart attitude. Why are you doing it? Are you doing it so that people will praise you? Or are you doing to point back to the God who saved you? And my brothers and sisters, God tells us, let your light shine so that people will see your good works They will hear your good words, and they will glorify your Father in heaven. Before I move on to the next point, I just one quick thing. There's a sermon that was preached by a Wesleyan minister. Yes, that's right. I am getting ready to quote a Wesleyan. Watch out. William Lonsdale Watkinson. 1907. Preached a sermon and then put some of his sermons into this book. And basically what he says, I'm going to get part of the quote right and part of it's a little mush, but basically it's easier and cheaper to say bad things about the stuff around us is how the first part of the quote goes. And then this is the exact quote. Yet it is far better to light the candle than to curse the darkness. It is so easy to just denounce everything around us. But it is far better to light the candle rather than curse the darkness. And here's the good news. You don't have to light the candle. The candle has already been lit if you are in Christ. You hear me? Come on, let me know that you hear me. You do not have to light the candle. You already are the candle. Jesus just says, shine. And that's some good news. Because you don't have to work at it to be that. You already are that. He just says, don't try to hide it. Don't try to put a bushel over it. That's cray-cray. Don't do it. Instead, be who God has made you to be in Christ. And when kingdom citizens shine their light, there will be people who will be awakened to the glory of God. There will be people who will be awakened to the glory of God by your small acts and your small words that point back to Jesus. There will be. How do I know that? It's because that's what Jesus says. Verse 16, in the same way, let your light shine before others so that they, and the they there is those who are not disciples, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. What this is talking about is winsome, beautiful, attractive, kindness, selflessness, mercifulness, lovingness, if that's a word. Being the kind of person that reflects Jesus. And if you believe, that's who you already are. Just believe that and go out and shine. And I know some of you are saying, that can't be right, Stuart. I mean, you don't know the sin in my heart. You're right, I don't. But I know at least a little bit of my own heart. And I know it's pretty messed up. And yours is probably as messed up or less messed up than mine. And I know that just little actions done in love in the name of Jesus can make all the difference. I've told this story before, I'm pretty sure, but it bears repeating. If for no other reason than to remind me. Some of you know that I was a school teacher before I went into the ministry. And I was in charge of doing the yearly musical for school. And there was one day after school, we were, a group of us were all sitting around trying to put together pieces of the set for our next musical. And there was a teacher there who was not a believer in Christ. She started asking me questions. Just, you know, what do you like to do for fun? Fun? I'm not sure. Okay, what do you like to do? And, you know, I was kind of struggling, to be honest, because I was so busy with all kinds of stuff that I just didn't, I don't know. And then she said, okay, so what do you do when you leave here? Like tonight, what do you do when you leave here? And I said, well, at the time, I was doing Evangelism Explosion, which, if you don't know what that is, it's a evangelism program that people go out and they hear about Jesus. And the confusion on her face was priceless, because she said, what is that? Evangelism Explosion? I mean, I could see, she's like, is something going to explode? I hope not. That sounds dangerous. And I said, well, you know, it's just, we tell people about Jesus. And she said, oh, you're a Christian. And I said, yeah. And she said, so what do you believe about Jesus? And I started kind of telling her some of the gospel. And then she said, now hold on just a second. Are you telling me that if I don't believe in Jesus, that I'm going to hell? Now imagine you're in my shoes. What would you say? I didn't even get to answer. She said, the pained look on your face tells me what I need to know. The next week, she started reading her Bible. And she came to me, and she said, I started reading my Bible, and I got a question for you. This thing with Lot and his two daughters, does God want us to do that? Now, if you don't know that story, there's some incest that goes on. That's pretty bad. And I was like, no, 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 no. Why don't you start with, like, Gospel of John? That would probably be better. But there was a desire to understand that was awakened in her because of a simple word. In fact, it wasn't even a word per se. It was just a facial expression that made her go, wow, this guy really believes this. And I don't know what happened to her. She moved away. But I do know that over a period of time, she kept asking me questions about the faith. And my hope is that the Lord was pursuing her and changed her. I wish I could tell you that I know for certain that happened, but we lost touch. But who knows what happened? I mean, maybe she is a missionary today. I mean, I don't know. How do you know? You don't. And you never know what God might do with your small light. And then when all of us together are shining together, like those 39 washing machine sized lights, maybe we'll attract something more than tourists and bats and bugs. Maybe we'll attract the people around us, because they'll say something is different about these folks. They love one another and they love me. They're gracious with one another, and they're gracious with me. They're kind to one another, and they're kind to me. What is it about them? And then we get to say, it's Jesus. It's Jesus. That's it. Nothing special other than Jesus. Nothing special about us. It's just Jesus. And so, my friends, if you're a believer in the Lord Jesus, you are light. Shine. If you're not a believer in Jesus, I hope that today will be a day where you're enveloped in, brought in to the goodness of who our God is, and that you'll say, I want that. I want what you guys have. But again, for all my brothers and sisters here, for all those who believe in Jesus, don't hide the light given to you by Jesus, but let it shine. Amen? Let's pray. Father, thank you for your grace. Thank you for your goodness to us. Thank you that even though we do not deserve this honor, this privilege, this wonderful gift that you've given to us in salvation and in calling us the light of the world, you've given it freely. And now help us by your Spirit to shine the light of Jesus to each other and to the world around us. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.